Dollhouse, JK Ultra, Harvey Weinstein jury deliberation starts right now.
We're back.
We're back.
We're just waiting patiently, that's all.
I know. It's crazy that here we are. The jury has it.
It's been a month and 2 weeks, a month and a week. Plus, you know, we had a week off for Thanksgiving, but the jury started deliberating Friday. Right now it's Monday. So today was the first full day of deliberations.
Yeah. And it went pretty quick because, you know, there was a weirdo situation, but that was my first day.
That was yours. I hid out in a room with vending machines and a door, and the sheriff let me close the door and just be alone with the vending machines. And it was the most alone time I've had in a month and a half. So nice. It was so nice.
Just you and the vending machines.
Just me and
that the don't even work. They don't work, do they?
They don't work.
Not on that floor.
And it's like, they're beverage vending machines. So there's just like water, like bottled water. Like, it's the apocalypse hit and this vending machine didn't work and it was the only water left in LA. Like, what would we do?
I know. And it's definitely not easy to break because it's like the old school.
It's like plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been really trying not to do the, I wonder what the jury's thinking. Like, I kind of flat out asked you last week to please make sure that we don't torture ourselves with a.
I never agreed to.
You didn't agree, but you heard me what I said, but you didn't agree.
You.
And I heard you not agreeing. So we have an understanding right now.
Yeah. That I will do it. And when you start to do it, I won't stop you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a good plan.
What is the jury thinking?
What the fuck is the jury thinking? Yeah. Ooh, well, let's start with Jane Doe 1.
Yeah.
Jane Doe 1, short answer, we side with her.
Yeah, I 100% believe Jane Doe 1.
Should we do short answers first?
Yes, okay.
And then, okay. Jane Doe 2, we both pretty much agree with.
Yes.
Although her friend confuses me. We'll get to that.
Okay.
Jane Doe number 3, don't believe her. Or not into it. I believe that they had sex. They didn't have sex. I believe that he masturbated while staring at her, but I don't believe it was not consensual.
I think I didn't see her testimony. It's the one I really wish I would have, just because she talked about all of the shamans and the hypnosis and all the stuff that's right up my alley. And I would have maybe connected with her more if I heard all her reasoning not through the grapevine. But based on what we have is that there's either was this touching, this groping, did it happen skin to skin or above a shirt, or at all. And I think because the skin to skin is the change, and I think we'll get into that when we get to her, I think it's not going to fly with the jury. I think a no
for Jane Doe 3.
And because I didn't see her testimony personally, I can't say from her soul
we'll
whether I believe.
We'll get more into her. But let's just, you know, there's only one more, and that's Jane Doe 4.
Yeah. Jane Doe 4, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to say nah for Jane Doe 4 for two reasons. One, all of them. And two is the
Statute of Limitations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that in a bit. But let's roll back to Jane Doe 1. So here's some of the major points from her testimony. She met Harvey in the LA Film Fest in 2003 through a mutual friend, Pascal, who is her Italian lover and one of Harvey's really good
friends. So they say lover. I feel there was no evidence of the lover. I don't believe the lover. Do you think that
the way they spoke to each other on Facebook chats, they're like, well, we're just Italian. I'm like, don't.
And it's translated,
don't Andrew
though.
Cuomo this.
Right. I feel like because it's translated into English, it sounds a lot more affectionate than if it was in Italian, the way it was originally written.
I think because of that one message he sent her when he said, I'm trying to get that special thing for you.
Or I can't get what you want.
But he called it a special thing.
Mm.
And I just, whatever. It just felt like more than friends, but that's not the point.
I think they're party friends.
I think they're party friends too. I think they had a party friends night.
I think a party friends night.
And I think Harvey got way... I don't think Harvey can, like, hang.
No, Harvey cannot hang.
No, he gets...
He literally ruined everyone's... Every woman's night.
All the time.
Always. Endlessly. Nonstop.
Yeah, nonstop.
And men, too. He ruined people's nights.
He ruined... Yeah, he ruined everyone's time.
He's like that guy that probably, like, at the party... Like, just ends up being a dick every time. They're like, don't invite him anymore.
Like, you enjoy him for 45 minutes, not 1 second longer.
But then he's the rich kid who has all the money. And that's why he's there.
Because he didn't get a personality. He just, like, got brains.
I wonder if he doesn't have a personality just because how much everyone really, even though in this rape trial, continued to emphasize his charm.
His charm.
Like,
and how flattering it was when he liked them.
It's, yeah.
So weird.
Although we did hear the video. I mean, the recording.
The banging of Ombra. That was so creepy.
It is so creepy. That audio is so creepy.
When he says, I swear on my children, I won't touch you. What, dude? Why don't you just say, okay, good night?
God. And the way that he was so flattering, but then also a threatening flattering.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... I wonder, and if he could really do that, I wonder if some of this was not even charm. Some of it was just kind of like,
I'm like, does he black out? Because it doesn't make sense. And I think I told you, I found a quote and I don't remember where it was from. And it was Harvey being like, I don't know what got into me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, did you have like a demon that snuck up on you once in a while? Like, what is this?
Yeah. Sex addiction.
Yeah. So Jane Doe 1 says that Harvey knocked on her door while she was sleeping in the middle of the night, or she just got back. She wasn't
sleeping.
And Harvey came in and raped her and sexually assaulted her in a few different ways. And she was hysterically crying on the stand. I saw her. I heard her puking in the bathroom. We genuinely like believed her. The defense planted a seed of doubt with a fire alarm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really pressed into her on the time that this occurred. And it was annoying when they were getting into the time. And then that's because they dropped the bomb of, well, at the time you claim this happened, there was a fire alarm that rang on every floor, including the room next to you, made a sound complaint that shares a wall. And that was like, whoa. Okay, so did this happen at this time? And then they bring in the driver. Harvey's driver brings in the documents.
But Harvey's driver was such a dirty motherfucker, rat motherfucker, fucker.
Yeah.
He, like, looked like a gerbil, and he was, like, interrupting the defense while they were asking him questions. And didn't – was it Worksman who said it first? Who said it to him? The red light? The damn dude. They're like, wow, sir, do you stop at red lights? And he goes, not when I'm driving Harvey Weinstein. And then they, like, asked him for clarification, and he was like – when Harvey, what did he say?
Yeah, so Alan Jackson asked him, and he was, because they were talking over each other.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you just have to wait for me to stop. And he wouldn't let him stop. And then he's like, well, you stop at red lights, don't you? Mm-hmm. He's like, from Mr. Weinstein? And Harvey laughed, like straight up laughed, because he knew that was true. He knew he made him go through so many red lights over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And then Miss Martinez gets back up and is like, what did you mean about red lights for Mr. Weinstein? And then he says that if they were running late, they would just go through them. And then her whole entire closing statement was about the not stopping at red lights. Yeah. She's like, you tell Harvey no? He doesn't stop at red lights. She was like, with that red light thing was like, the red light.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
How crazy that we got the profiles of the prosecution today in the email. I'm like, wait, you guys work on what?
I know. That is crazy.
More on that later. But Jane Doe 1, do you want to talk about the fire alarm?
Yeah. So the fire alarm, it was really, they really pushed this fire alarm. The other main thing is the jacket. She says this assault happened. He left the jacket in the...
We should say that Harvey is a co-owner of this hotel that the rape took place.
And this is crazy. I still have to look into this. I was like, how did they not really bring this up in court? Was this like, covered in evidence.
Unless the defense said in pretrial, like, you can't.
It must be, because otherwise it would have been the biggest thing of the whole entire trial.
Of course, he got preferential treatment. He's a co-owner.
And I have to look into it, because it's like the big thing that they've said in the trial is that he's friends with the owner.
Yeah, so it's Mr. C's Hotel, mm-hmm. where the rape took place. Harvey is a co-owner. It's a hotel on the family of restaurants from Cipriani's, mm-hmm. which is in a lot of songs about Harvey. And just Harvey was always at Cipriani's. It's a mainstay for
And a lot of these girls met him there in this trial.
Yeah. So Jane Doe One says that, like, he called from the hotel lobby to come up, and she said no, and they let him up anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next morning, she brought his coat down, and they didn't log it. They just gave it back to him. And
well, yeah, we don't know. So she claims that she had a conversation with Pascal about the jacket. Pascal wouldn't take the jacket. She says she doesn't want the jacket because she doesn't want him coming back for it. So then he says to give it to the lost and found. So then when they interview Pascal, he says there was never a conversation about the jacket. So this is the thing, is like, between the fire alarm, the jacket, and the other third seed of doubt was the description of his anatomy changing. Well, not changing, but two interviews. So there's two police interviews. She doesn't mention the deformity. She mentions suck my balls mm-hmm. was said.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't mention that there was no balls to suck. And those two interviews did not include it. The only time it started to include it was after the cops became aware of the ball situation, because the photos were taken for the New York trial.
But, like, listen, if they were out partying, like all night before this happened, and you go to suck someone's balls, like, doesn't mean you know what's going on.
Yeah. And of course, I mean,
and I think that Harvey's dick and ball situation changed over time. Like, I
got worse.
At first it was like saggy, and then now I think it's like tight.
Oh, I don't know.
I think he's had multiple surgeries.
Uh-huh.
And so I think the description of his dick in 2003 with Jane Doe 1, and the description of his dick in
2013. Well, hers was in 2013, Jane Doe 1.
Mm.
So it was recent.
Was it? Mm-hmm.
Because it was February 17th, 2013, because the Italia Film Festival.
I definitely posted those wrong on Instagram. Oh, no.
But I think his dick was just as bad as it will ever be by 2013.
Yeah,
I think about as bad as it could be.
Yeah.
Maybe it's worse now. I don't know. It probably is. But the reason I do believe these big seeds of doubt is, one, the fire alarm. I think they probably came back after one. I think this happened after one in the morning. Also, or whatever. She's mistaken about some time with this.
And I think that the drivers fudged Harvey's records, that we don't know really what time actually.
Or he didn't really pick him up at the time or whatever. I feel like there's, and also it's not like Harvey ever did anything for long. These were quick things, and he jerked off really fast. And that was, so even if it was 1:30 that he was back, this could have happened at 1 to 1:15, and he runs downstairs after. And it just felt longer for her because it was traumatic and scary. But I seriously don't even think he was in the hotel room for like that long. Mm-hmm. I think he went pretty much right to business.
Mm-hmm.
But the jacket, the lost and found records are completely missing.
Right.
So we don't know if the jacket was ever given. I believe it probably was. And with the dick description not being mentioned until after cops did, I feel like because it was her third language, what do you really say?
Right.
Especially if you're reporting it, you might not think to mention
that. It seemed like you didn't have testicles. Right.
Yeah. Now you know. No. But you wouldn't know to even think about that. And I feel like, yeah, I probably would have if I was in that situation. But also, I'm different than someone who this is their third language. This happened years ago. She's only telling the cops now, years later. She didn't speak that much English then. You know.
Yeah.
I think it's not too crazy.
It's not too crazy. So
because she was believable.
She was believable.
And I think all these doubts.
Listen, I believed everyone except Jennifer Newsom.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that Jane Doe 3 had sex with Harvey. I just don't believe that she wasn't down with it. But we'll get to her in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Jane Doe 2, we're on board with. She met Harvey through Claudia Salinas.
Mm-hmm.
Claudia Salinas, I've described her as a minor league madam. I've described her as that she attempted to run a millennial sex ring. This is what I've said to describe how I believe Claudia Salinas pays her rent.
Mm.
Part of me thinks that Claudia Salinas told Jane Doe to, I'm going to introduce you to Harvey tonight. If you like, you know, then like things can happen for you.
Mm-hmm. You're right. I think that the conversation was not so like, hey, bring your script for this. It was like, hey, do you want to go out and get drinks with me and my friend? It's Harvey Weinstein. He produces things. You know, he can make things happen for you.
Yeah.
And then she was like, oh, I'm a screenwriter. This is my opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it wasn't. Like, maybe she thought they were dating and she was his mistress. But, like, the vibe there is so weird. And I'm like, kind of having a come to Jesus moment. Maybe Claudia wasn't running a sex ring. Maybe she just like was Harvey's mistress, like dirty mistress.
Yeah, I definitely don't think Claudia was running any type of sex ring.
Interesting.
No, I don't think she's running a sex ring. What happens is the same thing that Natasha talked about, which is never going to be known by the jury, but that same kind of luring it in, it's a way for her to suck up to Harvey, is to have a threesome and yeah. stuff with other girls. You know, and to bring these other girls around. I've had people like this in my life. When I was younger, there was this woman who was like, when I was like 18, I met a woman that was like 27. And she really like kind of like derailed my life, got me arrested, all this shit, crazy fucking shit. And it's like, it was weird because looking back, I'm like, damn, she was always trying to kind of use me in a weird way as also leverage for other people, like other guys around, other men that she knew, you know. And it's like, I think sometimes girls, like the leveraging of power, same thing like Ghislaine, you know, you want to get in their good graces. It's not really like a sex ring. It's more like, oh, it's going to help this girl. And it's going to help me to be in Harvey's good graces by always bringing him like a cute girl. We'll have fun and whatever. She probably does a little like makes out with the other girl or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I doubt that these two instances that we heard in court are the only ones.
Yeah.
You know, but there's probably a lot of friends who, I mean, having a threesome for a guy because you want something out of the guy is a major card move on a lot of girls.
Wow.
Like a girlfriend will get another girlfriend to have a threesome with them. And then it kind of like gets them something from the guy. It's all the time.
Do you think that Claudia thought that Jane Doe 2 and Harvey and her were going to have a threesome?
Based on Natasha's story, I don't think that that's out of the realm. I don't think that she brought her there to lock her in a bathroom and assault her. I think it might have been like, hey, I'm going to pick. I think Harvey said, bring one of your hot friends or whatever.
Yeah.
Which one of your friends would you want to hook up with or whatever? Invite her over. You know, because if Harvey asked Natasha to have a threesome with him and a girl, it means they were probably not getting the girl through the other side. Like Claudia's trying to bring the girl and the girl's like not fully coming through, or it's falling through.
Wow.
And then why do I know so much about the threesome procuring process?
we think he'll be found guilty for Jane Doe 2.
I think so too. Which, okay, so the counts on Jane Doe 1, just to finish with that, is the touching.
Mm-hmm.
One of the counts,
oral copulation.
Yeah, one is oral. One is touching, and one is forcible sex.
Two.
I thought she has the first three charges.
Let me get my notes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she has 1, 2, 3. Oh.
You're right. Jane Doe 1, forcible oral copulation, sexual penetration by a foreign object, and forcible rape. Count 4.
Oh, it's penetration. It's not
foreign object.
Yeah, it's the fingers.
Mm-hmm. And then Jane Doe 2 is sexual battery by restraint.
Mm-hmm. And so the sexual battery by restraint,
is them sounds, saying the door was closed.
Yeah.
Not him holding her against
Yeah.
him. Not that it makes a difference. It's still horrible.
But that's also what I wonder about some of these sexual battery by restraint. But the story is that they went up to the hotel room. She goes into the bathroom with Harvey. She says whatever. She was lured into there by between Harvey and Claudia Salinas to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. She claims that Claudia closes the door on her. She can't leave. And then Harvey is naked, grabs her boob after taking her dress off.
So gross.
And then jerks off.
The amount of jerking off he did on people, it just doesn't even make sense to me.
So, but that's the thing, is sexual battery by restraint. Is the jury going to feel that that story, which we don't know, she says the dress was taken down.
Mm-hmm.
There's the question of whether the dress could have been taken down in this quick amount of time, and he could have undressed himself in this amount of time and all of this, because, you know, the defense loves to push the time story because that's how things sound different when you start, you know, yeah, scrutinizing
like
the time.
It took a while to for this to go down. She could have left. He didn't just whip all his clothes off and rip all of her. Like, yeah. It's so
and
weird.
And then also saying that Claudia Salinas was looking at her evilly in the mirror. But then clearly if the door was closed, how was she looking at you in the mirror if she wasn't? Which is what I don't understand too. And that's the one, I wasn't there for this testimony either. So
to me, I just felt like they could have redone the hotel, and I don't care what she says about the mirror or the door sliding. Like,
because you believe her testimony.
Because I believe her testimony, mm-hmm. and even if Claudia Salinas didn't look at her in the mirror, but it's just a nightmare she's been having for the last 10 years, like that's...
Or was Claudia in the bathroom, and it was supposed to be a threesome, or what? I don't know. That's what I'm wondering.
Oh.
Was Claudia never locked... Was Claudia in the bathroom if she saw her in the mirror? That's what I was wondering.
Right.
Was she actually on the other side of the door?
I don't care about that, really, mm-hmm. but I understand why a lot of people do.
I just think it's like, logistically, I want to like have like the clear idea of what even happened.
No, I think you have to know that not like we heard hours and hours of people talking, and maybe 70% of that was true.
Mm-hmm.
Collectively, everyone told a little bit of a lie or
For sure.
an exaggeration.
And your perception changes because you're always through your own lens.
Mm-hmm.
So when your identity changes,
mm-hmm.
your story starts to change.
Right.
So like when I was younger, my vision and my story of my life was one way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I tell my life story because I've done healing and separation
right.
from it, it's not the same story.
It's not the same story.
My story is not that bad now because I've made peace with so many things. So if you kind of maybe do the opposite and don't make peace with things, maybe the story gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that because our perception, our brain is the one telling us the story.
Right.
And it's very connected to the story that we tell ourselves about our own identity. So if you get into the identity of being a victim, then does the story become more heightened with a victim narrative?
Of course.
And I think that's why everyone's testimony has changed.
Just like another story becomes much softer and you use a different tone of voice. Like everything's different.
Yeah, like you talk about your parents and then you move on and you talk about them a little bit less angrily.
Right.
Because you feel a little bit more peace around it.
Exactly. So I don't care if if Jane Doe 2 did or did not see Claudia in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. Also, it was wild because Jane Doe 2's mom and dad were there.
Oh, were they?
Yeah. Okay, but did I tell you my Playboy theory on her? Or do you think it's not kind to repeat right now?
I don't know. I don't know the theory.
She did Playboy like a few months after the Harvey thing mm-hmm. happened, which means she shot it around the time the Harvey thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I like saw her Instagram and I was like, this girl's done Playboy. And I Googled it and I was like, wow, that's wild.
Right after.
Mm-hmm.
And you
In
think
the same 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible that she shot it right after this happened or right before this happened or right around it.
It seemed like she was in a time of her life.
Yeah.
Very sexual things in Hollywood with old traditional men were happening.
Yeah. And also very connected to her opportunities. She had a lot of big opportunities coming in, you know, regardless of how this turned out with Harvey in her mind, you know, this was a manifestation of her screenwriting and the modeling thing too, with the Playboy, you know, those were like things that she was pulling towards herself. Yeah. It does seem like a lot of times people meet Harvey, and I'm sure maybe it's because they're in those, they're new people in those areas, those elite areas or whatever. But a lot of the people's stories is them just at a really good point in their career, which is interesting too, because it's like the super traumatic thing happens really at a good point in their career.
Yeah.
You know, where they're really like kind of peaking, or they're around like a peak. And that's probably also because they're new to the club. Harvey needs a piece.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So Jane Doe 2, that's our prediction, that despite all of the things to
say. Did her parents testify?
No, but they were like
in the room.
Yeah.
Wow.
She moved back to Pennsylvania. She doesn't live in LA anymore. So yeah, then Jane Doe 3 is a professional masseuse in Hollywood. Her best friend is Mel Gibson, who's like the first person she told about the Harvey thing. He was her client also. She massaged him. Mel Gibson got her an ABC 2020 interview about Harvey, where she like totally fudged her story and said that the assault happened the second time she massaged him, but really it happened the first time she massaged him. But like that journalist from ABC 2020 just like made the story whatever like sounded better. But that's not even the most annoying part of the masseuse. Like, she kept meeting Harvey for massages. She kept emailing about writing a book, would send pages over about her writing a book. And I just feel like all the tension with Mel Gibson and Harvey Weinstein is so important. Like, not only the obvious anti-Semitism that Mel feels towards Hollywood, but also the fact that Fahrenheit 9/11 was supposed to initially be done at Mel Gibson's production studio and his team. And then Harvey, you know, got it, outbid it, or whatever he did. And Fahrenheit 9/11 was produced with Miramax as their last project, and is the highest grossing documentary of all time.
Wow.
So Mel fucking hates Harvey.
Crazy.
Hates Harvey.
So, and I doubt that's the only one.
It's wild.
I doubt it's the only one. You know,
the film that they take
that Miramax, that Harvey has stolen from Mel, and probably so many people.
Yeah.
He probably, if someone else was interested, if it was good, and he did have good taste.
Yeah.
Harvey did know a good movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he was like, that shit's mine.
Yeah.
And would take it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there's probably even more that we don't even know of.
We don't even fucking,
because it's rare to even know who shopped around before.
Isn't that Good Will Hunting story so crazy?
What's the Good Will Hunting story?
Oh, Harvey says it on the Howard Stern show, that when he read Good Will Hunting, he like went back to Ben and Matt, Ben and Matt, and were like, the script's great, but I really don't understand the part where the blowjob gives, or the psychiatrist gives a blowjob to the other psychiatrist, to Robin Williams. And they were like, oh my God, that's you're the only person to actually read the script, because we put that scene in to see if people were actually reading our script or not.
Oh my God.
And Harvey was like, that's the thing about making good movies, is you have to be willing to read a lot.
Wow. Harvey loves reading in court.
He did a lot in the beginning.
Yeah, he hasn't. As it's gotten closer to the end.
He's getting very serious, although he laughed twice during closing.
Yeah.
And then I think Mark Wurtzman was like, please stop laughing. Wurtzman's so funny. Jackson's not funny.
He wrote him notes during the...
Of course, yeah. But that, everyone does that. But Harvey at one point was like reading a cartoon.
Yeah, you said that. In the entertainment
section of the LA Times, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God, I want... Anyways, so then there's... Jane Doe 4. Jane Doe 4.
Who is not an anonymous Jane Doe.
Go off, queen.
Yeah, it's Gavin Newsom's wife.
Yeah, it sure is.
And that was really something.
certainly was something. The first thing I wrote down was that she walked in like a cult leader.
Oh my God. And I thought beauty queen. I thought like pageant, Miss America.
Yeah.
It literally was like she came in on the float of the parade.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. And everyone was like, it was so much. And it's just, so you know much. What? In a trial that is about the abuse of power, it doesn't come off good when you leveled when you up on power.
In, right.
And you just went above the power that
you
we're talking about.
Sweet green for a dozen women who were like Bill Cosby rape victims. You ordered them sweet green during lunch hour if they would come and sit in court with you. It was insane. The way that people didn't get into court that day because she had all of her like non-friends friends there. It was insane.
It really was. And even if, you know, I know people are going to have different perceptions about her having people there, whatever. But her, the way that she exuded such, which this is what I know a lot of people didn't like this part of Alan Jackson's testimony of his, I mean, his closing argument. A lot of people didn't like this part. Some of the people I talked to, where he said about, okay, so when she was on the stand and she didn't want to answer questions and these questions kept circling and circling and circling and circling.
She never answered questions.
No, like she just talked around it and wouldn't directly answer anything.
Sir.
Yeah. Every time she wanted him to stop asking questions, it was any tactic.
Sir.
It would be nice. Be mean. You're when that doesn't really work, mean. Start crying.
Yeah, she cried.
Start accusing.
And when she said, you're doing to me what he...
And that's exactly. So when she
say it correctly.
So she is being questioned. She doesn't want to answer. It's been going on. And she's like, you're doing to me exactly what he did to me that night. And it's like, whoa. And I'm glad that Alan Jackson said this in his closing arguments.
He said, how dare she?
How dare she? Because you know what? It's one thing to say that whatever. It obviously, it's horrible to be on the stand. Mm-hmm. It's horrible to have a defense attorney who's really good just rail into something that's traumatic for you.
Yeah.
However, you can't equate getting raped
to being questioned in a court.
To being questioned in a courtroom.
Although, if you're a Kristen Stewart, I'm sure, because didn't Kristen Stewart say that paparazzi were like being raped every day?
I have no idea. I've never heard this.
She did. She's like having pictures taken of me by paparazzi every day is like being raped every day.
But you know what? Everyone just dilutes the wording of everything, and what you're
We're
doing
saying
is
rape
just
so much.
Yeah, and yeah. It's like, then you wonder why people are like kind of desensitized too.
Rape. Yeah.
It's crazy. And so now, okay, so one of the people that I talked to about that part of Alan Jackson's argument. That person felt that what she meant was like by the cornering and the manipulation.
Of course, that's what she would like to argue that meant.
And I was like, okay, I see that. But to me, I did see it the way that like now you're.
I thought it was so ridiculous.
I thought it was ridiculous. And I thought it was ridiculous to say that to an attorney in court that they're doing what that person did to you that night in a rape trial. I just didn't think.
You just know that woman practiced her testimony so many times and practiced her comebacks. And she was just so ridiculous.
It really.
And the fact that she said, sorry, I remember what I was going to say.
Yeah.
The fact that she said that, well, I didn't think it was going to make it this far. I didn't think I'd be like on the stand. And I'm like, oh my God. So you're basically saying that you just like word vomited for like an LA Times quote and like didn't actually mean it.
Yeah. And I don't even know if it says she didn't mean it, but to go off on that, that's
with hyperbole.
That's like what is the thing with whether these charges are going to go through. It has to do with the statute of limitations. So when she said, I didn't think I was going to be like a part of this case, basically, it's because she thought that it happened too long ago to be included in the trial. So the reason why it's allowed to be included in the trial is because of this weird, and of course, this is just me from what they've explained to the jury, my understanding of it, I haven't looked it up, that basically this 10-year period after the assault, if the person who committed the assault was out of the state of California for 3 years.
The most confusing thing I've ever heard in my life.
If they were, so if it's a 10-year period and they were out of the state for 3 years total, all different days added up, doesn't have to be consecutive. That means it's 7 years. And that 7 years is within the time frame. So that 7 years is the statute of limitations. So if they find him guilty on these three counts for Jane Doe 4, after they find him guilty, they have to decide, did they prove he was out of California for 3 years? And apparently, according to Alan Jackson in his closing statements, the answer is no.
It's so crazy.
The answer is not true on that line.
Yeah. That is how he said it. It's one of the most complex things I've ever heard. And this is like proof that you're smarter than me, because you're like, oh, duh, that's what this means. And I'm like, you could tell me 100 times. Like, what are you talking about?
I don't know. That was my understanding of what they explained. I don't know. I have to look into it and see really what that's about. And I guess, I don't know, that's 7 years from the time that the judge opened up the statute of limitations. So I think that's what happened, was around the Cosby stuff in California, like a judge decided, I know this is a terrible explanation of what it is, but like a judge decided that for the next like 3 years or whatever, there is no statute of limitations. Doesn't matter. Report it.
It's so crazy.
And then after those years, they closed it again back to the normal.
That's insane. What sense
I'm pretty
does
sure
that
this
make?
Is what happened. I think this is what happened.
And I'm going to drop my mic on the floor. That's crazy.
And that's why stuff like this came up. Things like this Jane Doe.
Oh, yes.
Because then it falls into these areas. And that's how a lot of these things ended up being within the statute of limitations, even though they're so long ago.
So they were like, you know what? Well, everyone's in a pre-pandemic, because we're going to like start a virus in a bit. but let's open up the statute of limitations for rape.
Yeah. They're like, you know what? This Me Too is really working. Take them all down. Go
Take
all the way back.
Take them all down. We're going to go all bowling the way back. With humans.
I bet you it was a female judge. She was like, you know what? Fuck it.
Fuck these bitches.
Anyone ever come forward. We're here.
Oh my God. Well, you guys, thanks for being on this journey. We'd like to think that we're going to podcast when the verdict comes through. We're going to try.
We're hoping.
We're going to try. We're hoping. But talk to you then.